Thank you. Well, this is our annual church meeting, and so it falls to me to give a report, and this is it. Highlights. Highlights are always just highlights. They're not everything, and so I won't. If you may be involved in a particular ministry which is going absolutely brilliantly and is totally fantastic that I fail to mention, that's not because I don't love it and think it's wonderful. It's just that you don't want to be here all week. So, some of the highlights. We have started neighborhood prayer groups. And this is part of our strategy to develop our missional communities. We're hopeful that some of these neighborhood prayer groups will become neighborhood missional communities in due course. And it's gone really well. We started them off. We didn't know whether it would take. And we've got about 8 of them, and that's been really exciting. And I think it's actually boosted prayer in the church. We've also got 2 to 4 groups. There are lots of them. They're very exciting. But this has been a real bonus over the past 6 months. Our homeless lunch, which happens every Sunday, that has continued to both grow and be a blessing. For not only the guests who come along, but it's a blessing to us. Many of the guests who come to the homeless lunch come along to this service as well, and they add to the life of our church, and we are blessed by that. And God has been doing good things, and I want to invite Viv to come and share what God's been up to there. Here she comes. Great. So, Viv, have you got a good news story for us in and around the homeless lunch?
Yes, I have, but can I just correct you? It is now known as a community lunch.
Community lunch, very good.
Get it
quite right, yes.
And the reason it's a community lunch is because we have people who are homeless, but others who have been rehoused, others who are lonely. So it's just a lovely community we have. I wanted to share a story about one guy who came to the lunch. And he was his behaviour was very challenging. And I remember thinking, well, I hope he doesn't rock up at the shelter. And anyway, within a week, he was in the shelter. And at least I had an opportunity then to talk to him. And it turns out that he has a life-limiting illness. And he had to get to the Royal Free for an appointment. He had no money. He didn't have an Oyster card. And he'd missed several appointments. And it's a long way to walk to the Royal Free from Finchley. So I thought about it, and I thought, I'll take you. Now, I shouldn't have done it, really, because I took him on my own. But it was fine. We chatted on the way there, and he told me that he'd lost both his parents when he was 13 and basically has had to fend for himself. And, you know, there's a lot of trauma in his life and a lot of anger. Anyway, we get to the Royal Free, and I thought I wanted to stay with him to see the doctor so that I could just translate. The first thing that happened was a nurse gave him a form, about a 20-page form to fill in, and he doesn't speak English or very good English. So I ended up, the nurse refused to help him, so I filled in this form for him. He was then seen by a doctor, and the doctor was fabulous, absolutely fabulous. And then she said, I need to examine him, so went out of the room. But 30 seconds later, she walks out of the room, and I thought, well, what's happened? And I said, are you okay? She said, I need to get the consultant. And the consultant was busy, but she got the consultant to see this person, to see the state that he was in. So, and I was relieved at that point. I thought, fine, I know he'll get treatment. And when I was waiting outside, I was speaking to another junior doctor who said, we can treat him, but the drugs that he needs are incredibly expensive, really, really expensive, and we have to get permission to get those drugs. And I thought, oh, great. So anyway, we waited. The consultant told him, yeah, he will get treatment, but we have to apply for funds to get this drug. But 3 weeks later, he gets a confirmation that he's getting the drugs. And I went, yes. You know, because I'd got people praying for him. And then the next thing that happened was he was put out of the shelter. And I thought, no, can't have this. And I then wrote or emailed Homeless Action Barnet to say, look, you can't put this guy out. He's got medical condition. He's getting the drugs that he needs. So they relented and let him back in. I also got a parking ticket for taking him to the hospital.
Oh, joy.
As you do, you know. So it's just like that you get a high and then all of a sudden you're knocked back down. But anyway, so he stayed in the shelter, and I went up to Scotland for a week, and when I came back, he'd been excluded. And I thought, oh no, what are we going to do? But anyway, Olive, bless her consort, she told me that he'd been rehoused. And we thought, oh, amazing, it's fantastic. So this person now is getting the treatment that he needs. He is completely transformed, honest to goodness. He looks fabulous and he feels fabulous. The next thing that's happened to him is he's been threatened with eviction. So we're trying to fight that, or at least Homeless Action Barnet are trying to fight that. So we need to pray that he, you know, he remains in accommodation. But, you know, that's pulling him down. And also, he's now ready to work. And last week, one of the people who was in the shelter last year gave me a card saying, "Oh, I'm looking for people to work in this company that does tenancy cleaning, end of tenancy cleaning." And I thought, I've got quite a few people, so I gave cards out to them. And this person, I gave a card to him. So I don't know whether he's applied, but you know, he'd be perfect for that. Mm. So it's up and down, up and down.
Can we pray for him now?
Yes.
What's his name?
Can we call him Michael?
Michael. Father, we thank you for what you are doing through the community lunch and the homeless shelter for Michael, and even through the NHS and others as well. We commit him to you. We pray that he would come to know you for himself, and that you would continue transforming his life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Thank you, Viv. Okay. Well, things are happening, as you can hear from Viv's story there. Other highlight are satellite churches. We have two satellite churches that are all part of St. Barnabas, Oakley Community Church and Church at Five, based on Strawberry Vale. And both of them continue to thrive. I guess that Oakley Community Church has probably doubled in size in the last 3 or 4 years, and we've seen numbers of people get born again at that church. Church at Five, in its wonderful, noisy, chaotic way, is continuing to thrive. On Easter Sunday, Helen gave an appeal to any there who wanted to follow Jesus, and this was to inviting people to make that step. And 18, mainly young men, stood up. Isn't that amazing? That's just a few weeks ago. Another highlight this year has been our youth ministry. Peter Landry has arrived as our youth pastor, and he's already started to make his mark. We've seen quite a lot of growth, quite a lot of excitement and buzz around the youth ministry right now. That's a highlight for this year. I could say the same of kids' work, but they got a highlight last year, and so there's great stuff going on there as well. World Mission Support. K Caroline Burns has spearheaded a complete restructuring of our World Mission Support, implementing far better systems of support for our mission partners and far better governance of the whole process of sending people out. And we're believing that that will, in due time, result in us sending more people out. And of course, part of the strategy to do that is we like to do short-term missions during the year, and lots of individuals go on short-term missions, but we've had two organized short-term missions in the last year, one to Thailand, where the team were doing youth and kids work for a missionary conference, and I led a mission to Western Kenya, where we were invited by the Bishop of Butere to teach the clergy in his diocese. And we actually ended up doing a teaching session with all of the archdeacons, the senior clergy group from the whole of Kenya at that time. So it's really a wonderful privilege to do that. Barneys is another highlight. We love our Barneys. It's our toddler group, meets 2 days a week. Barneys have been running Alpha. And I was hearing in the first service from Geeti, where she'd seen a couple of people come to faith in Jesus Christ for the first time through Barneys in the last year. So that's an exciting time for them. Mission Training Hub. We set as one of our key priorities for the year launching a Mission Training Hub. And we did that in the autumn. We ran the Mission for Life course. It was massively oversubscribed. The people who went on it absolutely raved about it. And the idea behind this was to shift large numbers of us to living intentional missional lifestyles. And we've only just made a start on this. We want to roll this out again, but we're very encouraged by the start of that. And then during the year, following a tradition here at St. Barnabas, we sent out Joshua Shinmar to train for ordination in the Church of England. He is the latest of a whole number of candidates, really high-quality candidates that we've been sending out over a number of years, and he's training in Cambridge as I speak. Over the year, there have been a number of personnel changes. Excuse me. First in the staff. So Chanel Bota has worked with us as an administrator for a year, and she has now returned to South Africa. We're grateful to her for all she did. Maureen O'Sullivan has joined us. Of course, she was a member of St. Barnabas, and she has joined as a financial administrator from October last year, doing maternity cover for us. Then Mike Van Verdelis, after 10 years of being our church manager, has moved on to take up a position in a church in South London. And I cannot say in a few words the impact that Mike's ministry has had over those last 10 years. He left an enormous hole. But thanks be to God, Peter Troop has come along and he has filled that hole. Peter has been God's provision for us. We already see him stepping up speed in terms of getting to grips with the enormity of that role. Then Andy Pritchard has joined us for 1 year as our Go and Grow fundraising coordinator. It's a year's post for 2017, and you'll be seeing a lot more of Andy in that role, I'm sure. Then James Brown, after a number of years working first as a trainee and then as our youth worker, has moved on. Grateful to all that James brought to our youth work over that period of time. And then Peter Landry has arrived. I already mentioned him. And we're seeing great fruit from his ministry. Then the seriously cool Andy Yates has joined the staff as our music director. And he joined last May, actually, so he's been with us almost a year. Polly Baker has joined as a youth work apprentice based down at Strawberry Vale. So she's really engaged at Church at Five down there. And Elise Stammers has also joined as the Hope North London children's worker, running the children's clubs down there on Strawberry Vale. She'll be known to many as a long-standing member of St. Bees. And then, hot off the press, Rosalind Hutchins is joining us as administrator starting on Tuesday. So welcome to Rosalind. She's here this morning. It's great to have you with us. Now, there have been a large number of non-staff personnel changes, and after I'd finished putting this PowerPoint together, I kept remembering other ones that I'll just mention a couple, okay? The first is the prayer ministry team leader, Anne Brown. Of course, David and Anne are retiring next month, and so Anne has stepped down from leading the ministry team after quite a number of years doing that. And Tom Restall has come in and taken up that role. And then the church wardens. Our church wardens are Nikki Marfleet and Sam Markey. And coincidentally, for completely different reasons, they are both moving away from the area. And so they're both coming to the end of their terms today. I'd like to invite Sam to come and join me. Why don't we encourage him? Okay, Sam.
Hello.
You've been church warden for 5 years.
Yep.
Tell us some of the highlights of what you've had in that role.
It's been an amazing 5 years. Anyone who's been in St. Bees over the last little while will be aware of the many incredible things God's been doing in and with and through us, some of which Henry's going to come on to talk more about in the rest of the talk. And it's been such a privilege to be at the center of those, at the top table with Henry and Colin, with Mike and Peter, and representing you guys in those conversations about what God is doing in and with and through us, the amazing Go and Grow adventure we've been on. I've hugely enjoyed coming up here and communicating with you, telling you what's going on and involving you in that and making sure that that you're part of that. And if I'm honest, I remember this after the first service. One of my highlights is ringing the church bell on Easter Sunday morning, because we don't normally ring the church bell, do we? But on Resurrection Sunday, that is the day to do it.
You know, on Easter Sunday, because we've had lots of conversations about the church bell and whether we should move it up to Solar House and stuff, and the architects and the project director were asking about this bell. Does it work? Does it ring? And I just happened to be out the back, and then suddenly it started ringing, and I recorded it on my phone. And it was just a wonderful sound. So thank you for ringing that.
Not at all.
What else does the church warden do?
So, I mean, a big part of our job is supporting you, meeting you. It's been an honour to get to know you over these 5 years, to share the burden and the privilege of leadership for the church. So I've really enjoyed that. I know Nikki has likewise. I've been on the board for Go and Grow. All sorts of things. Yeah, it's busy.
So, now, you have actually already moved. I know that Nikki has not moved yet. She's planning to move later this year. But you've already moved. Where have you moved to, and what's happening next?
Yeah, about 10 days ago, we moved to Berkhamsted, or Burko, if you're trendy, in Hertfordshire, which is a sort of lovely market town. It's quite a culture change living here in London. People talk to you, and you can see the stars at night. But it's great. We're almost unpacked. We're settling in. We needed more space. Victoria's due to give birth to our second child in about 4 weeks' time or so now, so we needed a bit more room to breathe and a garden, and Evie's enjoying having the space. And it's that bit far away. We're like, actually, you know, we've been here for 11 years. Victoria came and worked here initially. That's how we ended up here. Yeah. And we've been involved in missional communities and all sorts of different exciting ministries. But we felt that it was far enough. It was time to make a fresh start and to sort of relocate our community and our worship life and our contribution to there. There's a number of local churches. We're looking forward to going and getting involved in one inspired by the kind of the local missional incarnational mission that we've learned and cultivated here.
Well, let me just pray for you now. Father, we thank you for Sam. We thank you for all that he has brought to St. Barnabas over these years. We pray for the birth of their second child, him and Victoria, coming up in the next few weeks. We ask that would go well. And that the new baby would be warmly welcomed by Evie to having a sibling for the first time. So we commit them to you, go with them, strengthen them, fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they might go and see fruitful ministry up there in Berkhamsted. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're hugely grateful to you, Sam. Thank you so much.
And thank all of you.
So we will hopefully be electing two new church wardens, so that's quite a big thing for us. Sam and Nikki have been really outstanding church wardens for us over the last few years. Now, any vicar's report at this juncture in the life of our church would be missing something if I didn't refer to Go and Grow, the Go and Grow highlights of the year. Firstly, let me just tell you who have been the Go and Grow project team. So it was, of course, Mike Van Verdelis, and as you heard, he moved on last year, and Peter Troop has come in fulfilling that role. Hannah Parker has been on the project board. Richard Greaves was a previous member of the project board and stepped into the breach in the autumn to help out again. Sam Markey, he's been not only a church warden, but a project board member. I've been involved a little bit. And Heather Stanley has been our project director. So that's who we are. What has happened? Well, first thing is we have sold this building. This building and the bungalow next door, that they are sold. Sold subject to the project going ahead, but sold nevertheless. And so we're really pleased with that. We've got a great developer who is going to convert this building into flats. Then we went through a process of doing tenders for the building works for the conversion of Solar House into a new church and community center. And we've selected a builder. They're ready, lined up, champing at the bit, ready to get in and do those conversion works. Then we made a planning application during the year. many of you would have come along to Tendon Town Hall to the planning committee on the 30th of April. And if you didn't come along, you may have seen the video when the planning committee approved our application. It's not quite the end of the story. There are still a number of hurdles to get through. But from a planning committee point of view, our application has now been approved. And that was an enormous watershed moment for us as a church. And then the sale of the North Wing. If you remember Solar House, it's this enormous building. We only need two-thirds of it. So we're selling on the North Wing. It's superfluous to our requirements, and we need the money to finance the project. And I am pleased to announce today that at 6:25 on Friday evening, we exchanged contracts on the sale of the North Wing. So what's next? Well, what happens next is You know, we have our planning approval, but there is a legal contract in a planning approval of this type called a Section 106 agreement, and that is currently being drawn up by lawyers. We hope that that will all be agreed in the next couple of weeks, and at that point, the planning consent is issued. And then, from the moment of the planning consent being issued, follows a six-week period of judicial review. So once we get to the end of that six-week period, we anticipate it will be July, and it is at that point that the planning approval becomes permanent. It becomes certain. And at the very same moment, the builders will rush through the doors of Solar House and start doing all the building works. They have a six-month contract to do all the conversion works, put in new toilets, put in stairs and lift, new entrance, all the conversion works to Solar House, and then we move. That'll be January 2018. That's not the end, because thereafter, that's just phase one. Thereafter, we come on to phase two, which is the building of the auditorium. We're only doing the conversion works in phase one. Then we move on to building the new auditorium. And we still need to fundraise for that. And so we will move, but we will then occupy the premises for perhaps 1 or 2 years while we fundraise to build the new auditorium. And then when we're building the new auditorium, the building contract will take 1 year. And we will move to the upper floors of Solar House, and it'll be like camping. It won't be pleasant. It will be, you know, we'll just have to cope with it. But it's only 1 year, and then the new auditorium will be completed. The whole project will be complete, and we'll move into it, perhaps in 2020. Let me return now to the life of St. Barnabas. Because the Go and Grow project is important, but it is only a building project. It's really not the main thing at all. At the beginning of the year, I felt the Lord speak to me about seeking him for the renewal of our church, renewal of St. Barnabas. And I preached a sermon in January on Jesus' words to the church at Ephesus in Revelation, where it says, "And yet this I hold against you, you have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." And because this is an annual review, I need to give a fair assessment of where we are as a church. Fortunately, I, unlike Theresa May, am not seeking re-election. And so I can be a little bit more candid and honest than the posturing politicians are. Because, frankly, the last couple of years here at St. Barnabas have been very difficult. Despite not wanting to allow the Go and Grow project to distract us, I think inevitably the sheer enormity of the project has meant that we've got somewhat sidetracked into it. Our energies and our attentions have had to be given to Go and Grow. It was never our intention, but it was unavoidable. And as a result, I think that perhaps the spiritual temperature of the church has dipped a bit. We saw less healings. We saw less people getting born again, less people being converted. People have left St. Barnabas. Some people have left because they didn't like the Go and Grow project, and that's fair enough. You know, it is a major project in the life of our church, and not everybody's going to like it. But other people left for all sorts of reasons. And I regret that, even though I think it was unavoidable. We are not quite as large as we were 2 or 3 years ago. And there have been repercussions to that. And I think there are some other things that, because all our energies have been going off into Go and Grow, we have not been able to do quite as much as we would have liked to have done. I think of discipleship. It's not quite where I would like it to be. Yeah, the missional communities are doing great stuff. The 2 to 4 groups are fantastic, and there are loads of them. If you're not in one, do get into one, because they're amazing people. Amazing things, you know, iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens another, so the scriptures say. That's what we do in the missional, in the 2 to 4 groups. But it feels like there's a bit of a gap as well. And we have not had the capacity, I've not had the capacity in my involvement in Go and Grow to fully attend to that. During the year, we engaged an outside consultant to come and assess the spiritual health of St. Bees. And that was a really valuable exercise. And we were assessed as in very good health. And whilst that may be true when measured against external objective benchmarks, there was something in me that wasn't quite convinced at that. And that's why at the beginning of the year I preached that sermon on returning to our first love. I felt that there was something of our edge that had been lost, that had been slightly blunted. And during that sermon I quoted John Wimber's idiom where he says, the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. And of course, the main thing is not Go and Grow, is it? The main thing is the life of the Spirit. And since January, I've begun to see something quite remarkable. I've kept hearing of really incredible healings. And hearing about people getting born again. Starting off with ones and twos. And then, I mean, it was one week in February here at, on St. Bees Sunday morning where I think we got 6 people born again on one Sunday. And then, you know, you hear down at Strawberry Vale of 18 people standing up on Sunday morning. What we haven't seen for quite a while, suddenly we're seeing people turn to Christ. People like Harry. Now, I don't want to get too excited, but I sense the beginnings of a new thing happening. We continue to face very big challenges, not least financially. I need to inform you that our income has not kept up. And currently, we are running about a £5,000 deficit a month. That's just over £1,000 a week. So if you've got a spare £1,000 each week, give it to us. No, it's clearly unsustainable, isn't it? It's clearly unsustainable. And so I need to say to you, if you have not reviewed your giving recently, please look at it, and I'd ask you to consider increasing it. We do need to retain our regular giving. If you have joined St. Bees recently, and you just haven't got around to making a financial commitment, can I ask you, can you get round to it now? I know when you arrive at a new place, there are lots of new things to get sorted out, and maybe you just haven't got round to it. Could you do that now? Because if we don't get on top of this now, it's going to become very serious quite quickly. So it's just money. It's, and in one sense, it's not important, but we need to nail that. God is on the move, particularly these last few months. The spiritual temperature is just just heating up a little bit. And I want to ride that wave. I don't want trifling little issues like money to getting in the way of us really surging forward with the purposes of God in this place. So I think that's where I would conclude my annual review. It's exciting times, but difficult times. What did Charles Dickens say? It's the best of times and the worst of times. There's a bit of that going on, but we know that God is with us.